Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today, it is a great privilege to be sitting with Rabbi Avraham Jurovel, a longtime veteran of the kashrus industry. Rabbi Jurovel serves as the director of the ingredients department at the Orthodox Union, and Rabbi Jurovel is as well one of the new company approvals. The new companies
before they get certified
mm-hmm. by the OU. So thank you, Rabbi Jurovel, for being here. First of all, it's a big schuss to have you because I know that you don't go out very often, especially now. You shav refuah shleima. You had a liver transplant
11 years ago,
and now you're battling an illness as well, and you're receiving treatments for it. So we daven that that you should have a refuah shleima, you should have the koyach to continue to enrich Klal Yisrael with your knowledge and your expertise. And we daven for refuah shleima of Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak ben
Tzipora Gittel Feiga.
Tzipora Gittel Feiga, refuah shleima b'karev. And again, thank you for your service to Klal Yisrael so many years in the kashrus industry. Many people have benefited from your guidance and your expertise. And we're here today to share with the Let's Talk Kashrus audience some of that expertise as it relates to Pesach. So let's start off by discussing items that many people may not realize contains chametz. They think it's an innocuous product when it comes to Pesach, and really it could contain chametz concerns. Take us through some of the items that you think people would benefit from realizing that it is a chametz concern.
Well, the most strange one that I can tell you that most people wouldn't have any idea it could be a problem would be olive oil. Now, I was zeiche, it's mamash siyata d'shmaya. I was in Turkey the day before the olives came into the factory from the field. The new harvest is coming tomorrow. So they had to make hachanas, and they had to empty out all the tanks of fermented olives that they had still from last year to make room for the new ones. So I said, well, what do you do with it? There's a limit how much you can package. Mm-hmm. I said, very simple. We drain them, and then we press them, and the finished product is called pure olive oil. Now, if you're talking about black olives, everyone can see on an ingredient legend that it has what's called ferrous gluconate. Ferrous gluconate is a reaction of ferrous is iron, and gluconate would mean gluconic acid, which comes straight from glucose. Mm-hmm. Glucose in this world can be chametz, can be kidneys, can be Pesach, and it doesn't discriminate. You can get either one, you can get all three of those in any country in the world. It exists. Now, when you take gluconic acid and you put it in the water, you're making a solution for the olives to go into. If you look it up, you'll find that there's at most, I think, 0.5% ferrous gluconate in an olive. But that doesn't tell you that there's so little in the solution. That's how much the olive absorbed from the solution. So this solution can be 100% chametzdik. Mm-hmm. These olives can be 100% chametzdik. And the oil that comes out of it can be 100% chametzdik. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, there are places, there's smaller refineries, but they exist. I've seen them. I've seen them in the Netherlands. I've seen them in France. There are small oil refineries that will refine any type of oil you want. You bring me the oil, I will refine it. I went on an inspection on one of these places. It was in the Netherlands, and the guy was so proud to tell me, Rabbi, we have olive oil from Israel. I said, oh, that's beautiful. Do you have a kosher certificate? Mm-hmm. And he actually had a kosher certificate. It was signed by the imam from Jenin.
For real?
From the land of milk and honey, Palestine. I have the certificate.
Wow.
Now, I called the Badatz in Yerushalayim, and I said, do I have to worry about Trumas and Maisus on these things? And they said, you certainly do. Because if there's a lousy shipment of olives, they'll sell it to the Arabs, and the lousy shipment, and it could be very Jewish olives that you have over there, so you really have to take Trumas and Maisus. We had an issue at the time because it's very difficult to take Trumas and Maisus if you don't own it. This is owned by a goy. Mm-hmm. It's not even owned by the company that's refining it. So even if I wanted to buy it from the refiner, I couldn't because it's not his. Mm-hmm. And there's no shlichus la'akum. So we had a problem because afterwards they're going to make other products. Mm-hmm. They're going to make... and so we came up with an etza. At the end of the run, they actually blow it out with nitrogen to get as much of the old product out of the machinery as they can. That garbage that's left belongs to the balabos. Mm-hmm. So the mashgiach buys it from the balabos, and he takes trumas and maisus on that, whole load. Uh-huh. But it was a very complicated issue. Now, another thing that this same company in Netherlands produces on this same oil refining equipment, the deodorizer, is cocoa butter. Cocoa butter is one of the main ingredients in chocolate. Mm-hmm. Cocoa butter is a natural fat that comes out of the cocoa bean. Any natural fat that you get out of any bean has to be refined. Mm-hmm. I was once in a place that had soybean oil. They were just pressing soybean oil. I figured, oh, I can take home a little bit of fresh soybean oil. You look at it and you smell it. You wouldn't want to go near it. Mm-hmm. It has to be refined. So cocoa butter and this olive oil and wheat germ oil are all done at this refinery.
So it's all done on the same equipment?
Yes.
And that's the chametz concern chocolate, you're saying?
For chocolate, that could be a chametz concern. In fact, one of the largest companies around for cocoa butter, it's called Cargill. Some of their plants are Pesachdik and some are not because of these concerns. Mm-hmm. So you can't just make an assumption, this chocolate bar, what could be in it? Yeah, sure.
It's definitely a concern. So we have chocolate would be a concern for Pesach, needs to be certified kosher for Passover.
Yes.
As well as olive oil, you mentioned.
Yes. Now, another interesting ingredient that people see, especially today, today's world has become, gluten-free has become very, very popular. Mm-hmm. And gluten-free does not mean chametz-free. The gluten molecule is a molecule that will get destroyed during processing. Meaning, if you're going to take wheat and you're going to ferment that wheat and make alcohol out of it and distill it, that will be gluten-free alcohol and 100% chametz.
Right.
Now, xanthan gum, people mistake what it is. They think it's a vegetable gum similar to guar gum, which is a plant. Xanthan gum is nowhere near that. Xanthan gum was a mistake that they rescued. They had that bacteria. They tried using it for something, and they got a big mass. They didn't know what to do with it. It sat for years until someone figured out we can make a good vegetable gum out of this. Mm-hmm. Now, xanthan gum starts off with a sugar fermentation. The sugar can be sucrose, the sugar can be glucose. Most places will use glucose. Two of the largest companies in the world that make xanthan gum are using glucose made from wheat. Mm-hmm. Now, the finished product is certified gluten-free.
Bona fide chametz.
Wow.
Now, what is xanthan gum typically used for, and why would a company put it into as one of the ingredients in a product?
It's a thickener. Mm-hmm. If you want something to have a body to it, you'll put in xanthan gum.
What's an example of a product?
Salad dressing.
Uh-huh.
Some of the,
you don't want it to be so watery,
right?
So they'll put it in as a thickener. That's an example.
Some of the cheaper mayonnaises, it might not be legal, but there are people using it.
Mm-hmm. So it's a very convenient product,
yes.
and it's a chametz issue.
Yeah, there is a Pesachdik xanthan gum available, and it's made once a year, and we go and we spend a week and a half kashering the factory, and we make a special run out of sucrose. But it's very limited and very expensive. If you don't order it a year in advance, I doubt you'll be able to get it.
Interesting. So if a company didn't order it in advance and they want a thickener for their kosher for Pesach salad dressing or something like that, what would they use as a replacement?
Some people use guar gum, but not everyone agrees. There is a controversy whether guar gum is kitnius or not. The OU holds that it's not kitnius, but there are some dissenters on
that. What is it derived from, the guar gum?
It's derived from a seed that grows in a pod, and the seed is not edible. It's Michael Behema. It's in India. But since it grows that way, there are some people that are machme, even though it's not something that human beings eat.
On this, just this topic, to wrap up, any other kind of these innocuous products that people don't realize are concerned for Pesach that you could think of?
Well, I get questions every year about we bought soda and we found that it doesn't have a Pesach Hechsher. Every soda has flavors. Some are natural, some are artificial. Some of the most basic flavor ingredients are coming from alcohol. For example, there's something called isoamyl alcohol or fusel oil. Isoamyl alcohol is made from fusel oil. Where do you get fusel oil from? When you're distilling alcohol, there's impurities in there. One of those impurities is the fusel oil, which is the reason that people get hangovers. So that's why they get less hangovers from vodka than from other ones, because vodka is distilled so high, they get rid of the fusel oil. Whereas scotch and bourbon is not distilled at higher temperatures. They want to retain the flavor.
But now, why would that be found in a soda?
It's a very common flavor ingredient. I see formulas on a regular basis. It's one of the normal ingredients. It hardly even needs a Hechsher. We require a Hechsher because it's conceivably possible to get it from wine alcohol, but realistically, it's not made that way today.
But again, it's a wheat-derived
ingredient? No, it's an alcohol-derived ingredient.
And the alcohol
Some
is...
alcohol is wheat. In Europe, a lot of the alcohol is wheat. In America, a lot of it is corn, but there is some wheat over here also.
So there's a chance that it's bona fide
chametz,
and at best it's coming
from anywhere.
And at best it's kitnius.
At best, it's kidneys, unless you actually manage to distill it from a sugar alcohol. We're working on a place that wants to do it. It's not ready yet, but we're working
now in the kosher LePesach soda products. What are they using instead of that, or do they just not include it?
No, they eliminate that.
They eliminate it.
Flavors for Pesach are difficult. They're very, very difficult. I had a company that came to me several years ago. A Rav came to me several years ago. I need flavors for watermelon candies. I need orange, lemon, blueberry, blue raspberry, cherry. I said, I can get you orange and I can get you lemon. I can't get you the other ones. They said, what are we going to do? I said, you'll find an Eitzah. And they found an Eitzah. They used the same flavor for all the different colors. They just added different coloring to it, and not one customer noticed. I will not say the name of the company.
that's an incredible insight that they actually use the same flavoring for quote-unquote different flavors.
Yes.
And no one noticed.
You're tasting the sugar.
Which kind of tells us that flavoring is more in our mind than in our palate, would you say?
Well, do you want yellow American cheese or white American cheese? The only difference is the color, not the taste.
That's an interesting insight into the psychology of food flavorings.
But nevertheless, the eye has a lot to do with it. You'll always see lemon juice in a dark green bottle, because lemon juice in a clear bottle will not sell. It looks ugly and it separates.
Right, that's interesting. But again, this soda issue as relates to Pesach, it's very interesting. When you ask the man on the street, they'll typically tell you, soda needs a proper certification for Pesach because otherwise it's kidneys. But what you're educating us today is that it's a real Pesach chametz concern.
It could easily be a chametz concern.
Mm-hmm. Rabbi Duravel, this has been wonderful. It's great speaking to you, and we look forward to speaking to you again. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.